when I was getting prepared this morning, I heard John chapter 7 loud and clear. So I wrote it down and I said, okay, Lord, don't know what you want out of that. But when I went there, it was a very familiar scripture, but I didn't remember it. You know, sometimes you can get a word and your brain is on blank. Anybody ever have a blank brain? Thank you. Well, mine was totally blank. And so, Father, let your plan unfold here so that we can see ourselves. And we can see the fullness of what you have already prepared in our hearts. And give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to perceive what your Spirit is speaking to us today. Amen? You know, Jesus was like everything else, very human. Every one of us is human. He was called the Son of Man. Well, the Son of Man meant 100% man. And I remember many years ago, a friend of mine went to Israel before I went. And I said to him when he returned, what did you find was the revelation of your experience? He had been a Christian for many years. He said, well, the most outstanding thing that I can say that happened to me when I was there was the human part of Jesus. So I understood the godly part, but I never comprehended the human aspect of the Lord. It became so real when I was in that land. I think for me, the garden experience was totally, totally out of the box. And many things that God does will remind us sometimes of what He impacted us when we are touched in a certain way, spoken to in a certain way. A word will come, an action will come, and it'll remind us of God's grace. And again, the Lord's choice of becoming a man. You know, sometimes we think of Him as almighty, which is wonderful. He is. But we don't think of Him as a flesh and blood man having aches and pains and testings and being irritated and getting upset. That's all human stuff. So look at your neighbor and tell him right now, Jesus was 100% man. He had emotions. Yeah. Irritations. And joyful moments. Yeah, but it's time. And I think John 7 speaks of this so that you can get into that space and say, oh, wait a minute. You know? Verse 1 says, after this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea because the Jews were waiting to take His life. That's pretty emotional. You know that the leaders of the country want you dead. Like, I'm not going home this week because my family would like to kill me. Okay? So I think I'll stay away and get a friend to just take me in for so that they can cool down. Oh, that's emotional. That's flesh, right? Will they all leave so that I'll have a little bit of peace in my house? Yeah. Those are all emotions. He purposely staying away from Judea because the Jews were waiting to take His life. You don't need to go any further than that. How fleshy do you want it? He didn't want to have His life given up ahead of schedule. He knew He had been born to die, and He knew that He had been born to be given up as a sacrifice for those who had lost their way. That's you and me. Verse 2, but when the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, you ought to leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples may see the miracles that you do. Guess what? They're full of what? They're full of emotions, aren't they? Then they give him a slap pretty deep below the belt. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. You are doing these things, show yourself to the world. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. You want to advertise who you are? Go ahead. We want to partake. We'd like a cut of the profits. Another thing, why didn't you choose one of us to be one of your disciples? Here you're walking around with 12 and they go everywhere with you and we are left at home. Get a clue. The next verse is sweet. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. His own brothers had rejected him. And you know, the religious realm would say, well, Mary didn't have any other kids. I could conceive that a man and a woman would sleep together for how many years and they would never have children. Kind of weird, but I think the scripture's right and traditions are wrong, but they'll tell you, oh, the brothers were really cousins. I remember arguing with this guy that was part of that religious realm one time, and I said, well, you've never slept with a woman. And he didn't like me for that comment. He didn't like me at all. I said, where in God's name do you ever get your principles from? I said, I know why you're a priest. Because you've never slept with a woman. If you slept with a woman, you'd understand that there's no way that this is going to continue year after year and not have any children. Unless he's a vegetable. I didn't say he was, but that's kind of hot. You know, I was thinking about because he didn't understand. And I said, and I'm not expecting you to understand. But if you want to talk to me about it, I says, I have experience. He didn't want me to discuss it at all. He liked his traditions. But to me, whether they were brothers or cousins, they didn't believe in him either. So choose whichever tradition you want. He was rejected by his own. Try it on. Say, sometimes I'm rejected by my own. And they can't stand me either. Oh, wow. Verse 6, therefore Jesus told them, the right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. Why? Because they don't have to obey a father. They don't know the father. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that what it does is evil. You go to the feast. I'm not yet going up to the feast because for me, the right time has not yet come. Notice he's not going to irritate them. He shuts things down and keeps the peace. That's a pretty good pattern for you and me. There are times that your opinion needs to be kept. There's a time for you to open your mouth, and there's also a time to zip it, yes. Cut the war games down as much as possible. Verse 9, having said this, he stayed in Galilee. Verse 10, however, after his brothers had left for the feast, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. Now, you know, if you've got a bunch of brothers that are all excited about who you are and they're jealous and they want to show you off, how would you act? Yeah. You'd kind of just incognito. Go on your own. You know that you're going to be there, but not with those that know you. A lot more comfortable. A lot less stress. A lot less war. Have you ever been told by the Lord, stay away from that group? Oh, well, maybe I should go just the same. But the Lord will say, why do you put yourself in such a space? All you're going to do is irritate the darkness. Be quiet. Go back in your corner and stay there with me. The Father will visit with you. And it'll be so much better and easier. And the peace that surpasses understanding will flood your hearts. Verse 11. Now at the feast, the Jews were watching for him and asking, where is that man? And among the crowd, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, he is a good man. Others replied, no, he deceives the people. But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the Jews. So the fear of the leaders was really pretty intense. It was in Christ, our Savior. It was, I believe, partially in his brothers, because they didn't believe in him. So they had to be irritated as well. And then verse 14 says, not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. Now I can just imagine what the Jews were like. And it says very clearly, the Jews were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having studied? Do you ever wonder why sometimes your responses will bring such deception in people who look at you and say, where did you get this kind of wisdom? Because the answer that comes out of your mouth baffles the wise. And many times it will not be something you have learned. It'll be something that'll bubble out of you when you least expect it, and it will transform the situation. Please, if you have this experience or have had it, would you raise one hand, please? Thank you. How come you have knowledge that you didn't study for?
Because he who wrote all the books are within us.
He who wrote the book is within you. Yeah. Where is the Holy Spirit? He's in my heart. I'm his temple. If I'm his temple, then he's resident within. Where's the King of Kings? Where's God the Father? And within us. You know, you're going to come out with things that will baffle even you. And when it happens, there'll be a glory cloud. And it will irritate the darkness. Watch 16. My teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me? Boy, I mean, talk about plugging up somebody's big mouth. He's not afraid to tell them exactly what he knows about their plans. And then their response is pretty intense. Have you ever been told that you were demon-possessed? If you haven't, just wait a while. I've been told to my face more than once. I had one person spit at me. Yeah. Because I told them the truth. Their response was a spit. And I thought, oh. And I didn't feel like turning the other cheek. I wonder why. You are demon-possessed? The crowd answered, who is trying to kill you? Jesus said to them, I did one miracle, and you are all astonished. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, you circumcise a child on the Sabbath. Now, if a child can be circumcised on a Sabbath, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing the whole man on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. That's the trigger. Say, from this day forward, with God's grace, I'm not going to judge by mere appearances, but I will make a right judgment when I get my Father's opinion instead of my own. My own could stink. Because it's learned from my ancestry. It's not learned from God's plan. Or by God's love. If you learn nothing else today, get Papa's opinion about what and whom is an irritation to you. It might be people on the job. It might be people in school. It might be people that you're with. It might be your immediate family. I don't care where or who. Get Papa's opinion. I remember I was very angry with my wife one time, and the Lord said, she's my daughter. Stop picking on her. You think I like that word? Absolutely not. It was upsetting my flesh. Oh, I should have heard at least a couple of amen. Some of you are married. Well, come on. Amen? I mean, husbands and wives can be the biggest tests in the whole world. And it was designed by God to do so. Diamonds sharpen diamonds. I remember one time I told my wife, I says, you're the best sandpaper in town. Yeah. And you guys can laugh, but you know what? You'll learn. It'll be your day someday. And if and when it is, you'll learn. Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Here he is speaking publicly, and they have not, and they are not saying a word to him. Have the authorities, I love this part, have the authorities really concluded that he is the anointed one or the Christ? I mean, you know, there was some reasoning in the crowd. There were some that were catching on. There were some that the Holy Spirit had prepared so that their hearts could receive God's plan with the anointed one. And they knew, but they doubted. Have you ever doubted? Yes. My God, how much proof do I need before I realize he's alive in me? much proof do I need that there's sometimes flesh that rules me? But we know where this man is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from. Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, "Yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not from here on my own, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him, because I am from him, and he sent me." At this they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his time had not yet come. Still many in the crowd put their faith in him. They said, "When the Christ comes, will he do more miraculous signs than this man?" You know, I'd love to go way deeper, but I have a sense that you've saturated what I've given, and I want it to really sit in your heart. And I would suggest this week, when you have a chance, read it again. Ponder a little bit about the human aspect of Jesus Christ being 100% emotional, yet not giving in to the emotions, not slapping anybody in the head because they needed it. There were a few that he let go, and he let them know that they were whitewashed tombstones, which would have been a real nasty word at that time. Okay? He was a man willing to tell them, "Look, I am human, but you don't know where I'm from. You just don't know where I'm from." Now close your eyes. Say, "Lord Jesus, when I'm out in that world, some people may not realize where I am from. But you know, and I know, that the living one is really alive in me. And by his Spirit, he will continue to take care of me, to counsel me, to comfort me, to deliver me, and to heal me. In Jesus' name, let this truth be confirmed over and over until I fully believe it." Amen? And amen. How about if you lift your hand to him? Father, we want to thank you, first of all, for what you've given us in the finances, and we want to honor those that have been obedient. We want to give you praise, Father, to continue to guide us this week. As we go forth in this week, Father, let us be reminded not to look at appearances, but to really look to you for what you say about those that we meet, those that we minister to, and those that we love at home. In Jesus' name.